Well, you've likely all heard the saying, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. While such a nagging diagnosis might make you tremble a bit, still, this is true in most cases. Yes. For example, if I don't really work hard, even to the point of exhaustion, then I may not achieve my goals in life. I may not be able to support my lifestyle, my family, my habits, my wants. This is true. Hard work can and does produce results. Hard work can and does produce results. But, how come there are buts in most everything we do? But what if you're sickly, or weak, and aged? But what about God? Why doesn't He help? He can do anything. Oh yes, God can do anything if He wants to. If He wants to. If it's in His perfect will. I say this simply because there are those who believe God doesn't want to help. That He enjoys seeing people suffer. What? God saw His Son, His only begotten Son, suffering on the cross at Calvary for something He did not do, but for us to take away our sins. Yes, God knew there would be pain. God the Father knew this. But God the Son, in obedient to His Father, He could have said, I ain't going to do it, Father. I can't. I don't want to. But He did. Why? Simply because God so loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John 3:16, the most realized verse in the whole Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's you and me. All of us. John 3:16, the most realized verse in all of Scripture. Even people who don't read the Bible have heard that and memorized it. Do you think that God the Father enjoyed watching His only begotten Son to be stricken of men and mocked by women just because He claimed to be what He really is? The Son of the living God? Do you think for a moment that the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who could have smitten the assailants, His assailants, could have smitten them with but a word from His lips? Do you think He enjoyed the lash? Or the indignity brought upon Him because He claimed to be what He was? Do you? We speak of our pain, that life has treated us poorly and we can't live like our rich neighbors. And no, it's not a sin to live the good life, but only if God is in it. Make life whatever you want, but unless God is in it, you are living in sin. the whole world. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Yes, He also created everything that is upon and in it. Okay? And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Genesis 1:3. It was very good. You see, God don't make no junk. Huh? No. You may have chanced to see or heard of a young man. I say young because when I saw him on TV the first time, many years ago, he was a young man. His name is David Ring. Does that ring a bell? No pun intended. David Ring. David was, well, he was not your average TV evangelist, no. Brother David was born with cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy. Man, oh man. My wife and I were brought to tears just to sit and watch and listen to this young man of God as he wrestled to bring forth his life story and how he struggled with this terrible disease. I had never been so encouraged, so moved and blessed as young David proclaimed how his love for Jesus had enabled him to rise above the ailment and even use it to glorify God in a way we had never heard before. Oh, I recall so well, one of the most heartwarming phrases when referring to his inability to serve God, how that God can and will use whomever. You see, David was showing us that no matter what shape you were in, as long as you could understand who God really was, you can still serve Him. And that's what David did. It stuck with me all these years when Brother David vehemently exclaimed, "God don't make no junk." That's what he said. God don't make no junk. And he's right. God don't make no junk. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. You got that right. God don't make no junk. I've heard a lot of people over the years, both saved and unsaved, regardless of their affliction, lament. Why doesn't God, if He's so holy and kind, then why doesn't He heal me of my affliction? And the only answer I could give is because it's not God's perfect will at this time. Did a lot of visiting at various homes for the aged. My wife Catherine and I, and we visited the physically handicapped. Since I became a child of the King, I don't know if you're going to understand this or not, but visiting the sick, the elderly, and the downtrodden was always a blessing to us. Always a blessing to us. But you know, when you keep returning, sooner or later, you routinely develop a special friendship with these people. And you just can't wait to return again and again. You can't. You can't wait. That happened to me when I met Cecil. a man named Cecil. Cecil was stricken with a neuromuscular disease and was going to stay with it was going to stay with him right to the end. And whenever I came to visit Cecil, I'd always leave Cecil, actually, until the last. What I'm saying is, I wouldn't go into his room until I had finished my rounds of all the others. I'd leave Cecil till my last visitation. Cecil loved the Lord. Oh yes, he did, he did. Though many years have passed and Cecil has long been with the Lord, my time spent at his bedside reading the scriptures and singing our favorite hymns. Oh, how we loved to sing the hymns. They've not dimmed those memories. Cecil, I'll never forget. A wonderful ministry. How blessed I was with this ministry in these places where people had not heard or had not understood the Word of God. A ministry filled with many blessings. So the question remains, why do people suffer? Why do people suffer? Well, the reason why people suffer are all pointed towards Calvary. Did you know that? Because of sin. Because of sin. That's why Jesus went to Calvary. Because of sin. Not his sin, for he had no sin. But for our sin. The sin of the entire world. That's why Jesus, the Christ, went to Calvary to bleed and suffer and die for the sin of the whole world. For the sin of the whole world. We must first understand that without suffering, there can be no real joy, right? One is the opposite. He who suffers most enjoys greater. You might say, oh, that's just a saying. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. You see, suffering is like a cleaning agent for joy. A cleaning agent. And is not Calvary the optimum of both? Huh? Without suffering, how are we to fully understand the true meaning of joy? Let me say that again. Without suffering, how are we to understand joy? Without war, how can we understand peace? Huh? There'd always be peace if there was no war. So we wouldn't understand the difference. God allowed war. I'm not saying that he was sadistic and he loved war. No, but he allowed it. You see, most people, if not all, come to Christ because they want him. They want him as their Savior. Not because they need him, because they want him. But after you want him, then you know that you need him. After you want him, you'll know that you need him. Without wrong, it's impossible to comprehend righteousness. The opposite. And without heaven, well, hell is just a bad dream. Just a bad dream, and nobody wants to even deal with that. If we return to the Garden of Eden, do we not see heaven on earth? in the beginning, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Wow. Because without suffering, that's the big question, actually, that people ask, well, why all the suffering? If God is who He says He is, why do people have to suffer? Why did His own Son have to suffer? Well, as I alluded to earlier, without suffering, there's no joy. Without wrong, there's no righteousness. And it works the other way. Without righteousness, there's no wrong. And without the cross, there's no forgiveness. No forgiveness. So, why do people suffer? Because without suffering, there can be no real joy, no gain, no need for prayer. Jesus went to the cross. To what? To suffer. For what? He did no wrong. To suffer for sinful man. And that includes you, ladies. Mankind. You all come under the same banner. Regardless of what you're thinking or living today. Someone once asked me, why? Why? Why did He, who knew no sin, why did He have to die for me? You know, I wasn't even born. I wasn't even thought of when Jesus died for me. Oh, yes, sir. You were thought of, all right. You see, God knows, even before we are born, who will come to Him. God knows we were thought of, all right. Along with the entire world, a world that God so loved, He was willing to give His only begotten Son who knew no sin. To allow Himself to be whipped, spat upon, and nailed to a cross. A cross, the most excruciating death imaginable. The lamb to the slaughter. Isn't that what it was? The lamb to the slaughter. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for the whole world. He was born to die, that we might have life eternal. If you think you're going to have life eternal down here on this crazy mixed up world, you're sadly mistaken, sir, madam. You're sadly mistaken. Your lifespan, even if it goes to 100, is but a mere drop in the proverbial bucket. But there is eternity that waits both you who believe in the cross and you who do not. And they are opposites. One is in glory with Jesus. The other is in hell with Satan. But both are eternal. You might say, well, I'll go to hell. And I'll burn up. Case closed. Case not closed. You will live eternal spiritually in hell. You will know. You will know the pain you are suffering. You will know it. Oh yes, for sure you will know it. because it will be so excruciating. He'll say, "Oh Lord, won't you come and rescue me? Won't you help me? I'm sorry for everything that I said and done." Are you? Why did you wait so long? Did you not have a chance? Did no one ever tell you that there is a real hell? Didn't they? He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for the whole world. He took our sin, He who knew no sin, upon Himself, and made it die right there at the cross. For with it we could never enter in to heaven. He took it away. He destroyed it with His precious blood. He was born to die that we might have eternal life. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And He now liveth to make intercession for us. What the law could not do, the Son of Almighty God could and did. Praise be to God. But only once. Only once. Never. Never to be repeated. Once for all. Have you got that? Once for all. Tell me. Are you saved by the blood of the Lamb? Have you repented and believed in Him? Or have you just thought about it? Thought about it. Well, since tomorrow is promised to no one, may I suggest you do not put it off for a more convenient time. That time may never come. If you don't belong to a Bible-believing church today, if you're not sure about the plan of salvation, won't you contact me or anybody who is truly saved? I can be reached here at Battle Site for Christ anytime. You can reach Jesus also through the Just Jesus Network. It's a radio station in South Carolina. They're wild about Jesus. They love Him. Just like I do. If you're not sure about the plan of salvation, won't you contact us? Please. And talk to us. Because we, the people who know Christ, we understand. We'll be only too glad to help. Only too glad to help. Tell me, how is it really with you today? How? Do you just go about your business, you know, striving like most people do, trying to make ends meet day after day, getting sick time and again, and always being pushed around by those who have more power than you, always lamenting over, "Oh, how are we going to make it till next payday?" Well, that's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. The only thing that's missing here is Jesus. Now, Jesus is the good part of it all. You see, Jesus takes the worrying from you. Jesus takes the end result from you. Oh, yes, He does. Jesus did it all on Calvary's cross. He did it all. All that was needed. He suffered. He bled. He died. He gave up His life. But He rose again. He rose again from the grave. Don't forget that. If he hadn't risen again, then all would be hopeless. But he'll never repeat it. It's never to be repeated. You know, I call my message, no pain, no gain. You see, he took the pain. We got the gain. Have you got that? He took the pain. We got the gain. I pray that if you're not sure, absolutely positive about your salvation, that you would do so today. Because, as you've heard before, tomorrow is promised to no one. I'll be praying for you. I will. Please tune in again next week to the Just Jesus Network for another message from the Word of God. And may God's mercy and blessing be upon you. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. Amen.